In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, to your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Today is proof that God is good. If somebody wrote that on their social media account, what do you think they would be referencing? And maybe they would be referencing that they got a clean bill of health, that they're cancer-free. Maybe they would be referencing the fact that they bought their dream home or got a promotion at work. Maybe they would be referencing that they finally got the girl, or they finally kicked the habit, or they finally won that court case, or their marriage and their family is just really clicking right now. Or I suppose there could be a whole host of other things that people would be referencing if they wrote the words, "Today is proof that God is good." But if somebody wrote those words on their social media account, if they wrote, "Today is proof that God is good," I don't think anybody would be referencing the cross. But that's what Job did in our first lesson. And it's what Jesus does in our gospel lesson. For in our gospel lesson, Jesus makes this point abundantly clear. He makes it clear that the cross, both his cross and your crosses, the cross is proof that God is good. And doesn't that sound strange? For look at the way that Jesus described his cross. In the first verse of our text, St. Mark wrote, "Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And just look at the verbs in that passage. Suffer. Be rejected. Be killed. Doesn't sound very glorious, does it? For what does it mean to suffer? To suffer is more than just a mere annoyance. That's sometimes how we use that word, right? I had to suffer through that terrible movie. I have to suffer being a Detroit Lions fan. Oftentimes we use that word suffering simply as a mere annoyance. But that's not what suffering is. Suffering is real pain, real anguish that lasts a long time, if it ever does go away. That's what real suffering is. And that's the type of suffering that Jesus would endure on his cross. For look at the other two verbs that are used, be rejected and be killed. What does it mean to be rejected? It means to be looked down upon, mocked, declared an outcast, which is what would happen to Jesus as he hung on the cross, both by the chief priests as well as by his Father in heaven. And we all know what it means to be killed. None of us wants to be killed. While we all know we're going to die, we hope we can die peacefully, maybe in our sleep. We don't want our life suddenly ripped from us, as humanly speaking would happen when Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus' cross seems terrible. There doesn't seem to be much good in it at all. In fact, when we hear him describe the cross, sometimes we want to act like St. Peter, right? We want to take Jesus aside and talk some sense into him, saying, you shouldn't really do that, because it just doesn't make sense to our human logic that Jesus should suffer, be rejected, and be killed. And if that doesn't make sense to our human logic, that Jesus should go to the cross, then what Jesus says next most definitely doesn't make sense. For Jesus stops talking about his cross, and he starts talking about your crosses. He talks about the struggles and burdens that you're going to bear, and Jesus says that these crosses, they're also good for you. They're proof that God is good. They're proof that God loves you. For listen to how Jesus continues. He says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And once again, look at the verbs. Deny yourself. Take up a cross. That sounds terrible. For who wants to deny yourself? To deny yourself is so much more than disciplining yourself to not eat sweets or disciplining yourself to wake up early. It is so much more than standing in line to deny whatever privilege the world says you have right now in society. That's not what it means to deny yourself. But to deny yourself is to deny your very being. It's to deny all self-centeredness, self-righteousness, self-interest that is inside of you. It's to say that you have no power inside of yourself to help yourself, and so you need to look outside of yourself for help. That's what it means to deny yourself, and none of our sinful fleshes want to do that. Picking up a cross might be worse. You see, a cross isn't just a struggle or a hardship or a burden, though it most definitely is those things. But as if that isn't bad enough, a cross, it's really something that ends up putting yourself to death. Because that's what you do with crosses, right? You die on them. And once again, all that sounds terrible. None of it sounds good. In fact, denying ourselves and picking up our crosses sounds worse than Jesus having to suffer and be rejected and be killed, because denying yourself and picking up your cross, that affects you. That causes you to suffer. That causes you pain, and no one wants to experience it. You don't, I don't, none of us do, according to our sinful flesh. And so if the cross was an instrument of torture for Jesus and for you, if a cross is something that puts to death both Jesus and you, then going back to the beginning of this sermon, how can I say that the cross is proof that God is good? Well, to answer that question, let's actually go back to the first verse in our text. When Jesus was talking about his cross. Remember, we were looking at the verb suffer, rejected, be killed. Remember that? Did you notice there's a fourth verb in that sentence? A verb we didn't initially talk about, and a verb that doesn't seem to agree with the other three verbs that are listed. For Jesus does say the cross will cause him to suffer and be rejected and be killed. Then he says he will rise again. And that changes everything. You see, Jesus' cross did not end in death. Jesus' cross ended in life. It ended in a victory over death, because death could not hold him down. For you see, Jesus did not go to the cross for his own sins. He did not suffer or be rejected or be killed because he was sinful. But he suffered and was rejected and was killed because you were sinful. He went to the cross for your sins and for my sins and the sins of the entire world. And since he did not go to the cross for his own sins, but since he went to his cross for our sins, Jesus, he had the power to do something with the cross that no one else who ever hung on a cross could do. He had the power to come back to life. He had the power to rise again on the third day. And that's why the cross is proof that God is good. That's why the cross is proof that God loves us. For his cross allowed him to use his power to conquer his enemies of sin, death, and the devil. Because his cross allowed him to use his power to rise victoriously from the grave. After all, Jesus couldn't rise in victory if he didn't first die, right? He couldn't have defeated those enemies of sin, death, and the devil if he didn't first suffer and be rejected and be killed. And so Christ's cross is proof that God is good, because Christ's cross allowed him to rise from the dead victorious. His cross ended in victory. And if Jesus' cross ended in victory, do you know what? The same thing will happen with all of your crosses. For let's go back to your crosses. Remember what they are. They're more than just a burden or a struggle that you face in your life. That's only part of the definition. But a cross is a burden or a struggle that forces you to deny self. To deny self-righteousness, to deny self-centeredness, to deny that self-indulgence that we all love to do. It's what our sinful flesh always wants. Basically, a cross is something that puts that sinful flesh to death. And that's a good thing. Because once your cross puts you to death, once it puts that sinful flesh to death, as you realize you can't do anything on your own, well, then something amazing happens. You are raised to a new life. That's what happened with Christ after his cross, right? His cross led to a new life. He died, and then he rose. And so the same thing will happen with your crosses as well. Once your selfish, sinful self is put to death, you will then rise to this new life with Christ. To this new life that is not controlled by self. It's not controlled by self-interest and self-desires, but a new life that is controlled by the love of Christ, the love that fills you up so much that not only do you rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, or not only do you rejoice in your crosses as Job did, but in this new life you also burst forth in acts of love toward one another, because you cannot help show mercy and love when you have been risen to this new life in Christ. Do you see why the cross is proof that God is good? For without Christ's cross and his resurrection from the grave, we would still be in our sins. And then we would have to suffer and be rejected and be killed, not just for a short time, but for all eternity in hell, because on our own we would not have been able to rise from the dead. I think we all get that, right? But without your crosses, without the struggles or burdens that God either sends or allows to come into your life, you would still be controlled by self, by that sinful flesh. And you would be self-righteous. And you would not look outside of yourself to help, to Jesus Christ, to the only one who could free you for all eternity. That's why your cross is a blessing from God as well. And so, my dear Christian friends, thank God for the cross. Thank God for Jesus and his cross during this season of Lent, as we watch our Savior go and suffer and die and win forgiveness, life, and salvation for you. But at the same time, during this season of Lent, thank God for all of your crosses. Thank God for the crosses or burdens in your life, such as that sickness or disease. Thank God for the crosses or burdens at work, whatever they may be. Thank God for the crosses and burdens that are in this congregation, the struggles that we have. Yes, thank God for the cross. The cross will always cause you to deny self and to look to your Savior. It's why the cross is always going to be proof that God is good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess that one true faith of the church by using the words of the creed as printed in the bulletin.